Hey everyone, it's Norm Ferrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Okay, so for today's show, we're going to be having one of my favorite guests, Lil Roberts. She's never been on Lunch with Norm, but she has been on the I Know This Guy podcast, and she is one of the most popular, probably in the top five downloads in I Know This Guy. What an incredible life story. But if you want to check that out, go over there. Today, we're talking about Amazon and e-com and Shopify accounting. So she is the founder of Zendu, a cloud-based fintech company, and she specializes on online bookkeeping and accounting for small businesses. So, Kelsey, where are you, sir?
Hello, hello.
Hey, you're there.
I am, as always. And so if you guys are new to the show, you can go ahead and join our Facebook group. We call it ourselves the Beard Nation. You can search it on Facebook, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-commerce Collective. We'd love to have you join the community. It's a great place to ask questions, get to know the people that watch the show along with us. And also want to say a big thank you to everyone who showed up for our Clubhouse, our very first Clubhouse. We're going to be doing Clubhouse on Mondays at 1:30 every Monday for every week.
Why not give it a shot? We'll see.
Yeah, we're trying it out. We'll see what we can do there, and it should be fun. And if you are new here and you missed an episode or you want to catch up on something, all of the info, all the videos go straight over to YouTube. You can check us. There's daily highlights. There's full episodes. Everything is cataloged there. And yeah.
Okay. So, Kelsey, you did your job. Now it's back to me, I think. All right, so if you have any questions, just shoot them over to the right over in the comment section. We'll try to get to them. I'm sure we're going to have lots of questions today. This is going to be a cool episode. So,
and I'll interrupt you one more time. We do have a giveaway today, so stick around for that. We'll have Lil kind of explain what that is. And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to start to talk again.
The floor is yours.
Okay, so just... There, he did it. All right, he's getting paid this week. Okay, so sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Welcome, Lil Roberts. Where are you?
Hey, Norm. So happy to be here with you.
It is great to see you. Actually, you just told me that I had no idea, but you're going out with a couple of my really good friends tonight.
Yeah. And I'm so excited about it. We're going to go out with Crazy Tim and Ricardo, who we're going to get into the crazy mood, right?
Right, and Colin. So that'll be good. It will be a really I wish I was there. Locked down here in Canada, but
Colin is Mr. Dot Club, right? And Clubhouse and Dot Club.
True.
Are like it's who would have known, right?
That
when Colin bought the registry.club so many years ago, right? It's been like 5-6 years that Clubhouse would come about and become a billion-dollar company in 10 months?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I wish I could do that with my business.
Ditto.
So before we get started, I just wanted to give a couple of shout-outs to Simon and Marsha. Dr. Cause, good to see you back. Rad. And everybody else that's on the podcast today. Remember, Kelsey didn't say it, so I'm going to dock his pay, but smash those likes. I don't usually say it. He usually says it, but smash those likes. Hit the subscribe button. If you know of people that are Amazon sellers, this is the episode to tag them and get them to listen, because we're going to be talking about Amazon accounting, Amazon tax. We're going to go down a few different rabbit holes. But to start it off now, let's just talk about e-com tax or e-com accounting.
As crickets and everybody is hopping off, Norm, nobody wants to talk tax and accounting. But don't go away, everyone, because you don't know Norm's style of talking tax and accounting, uh-oh, right? We make it fun and we make it interesting. So look, at the end of the day, it's all about keeping as much money as possible in your pocket, right? So when we talk tax and accounting, it's how do you stay compliant and how do you keep as much money in your pocket? So that's what we're going to chat about. And to, you know, just tag on, although I own an online bookkeeping and accounting company that's, you know, it's a tech first company, where, as they call it, a tech enabled SaaS model. It's really, I'm just an entrepreneur like you, and I'm not a CPA or an accountant. I have a phenomenal team of CPAs and accountants. But what we all are about is the passion of how do we help everyone keep more money in their pocket. So let's chat that, right?
Okay, let's go down that. So a lot of Amazon sellers are new to business world, and they might be trying to do their business on QuickBooks or whatever, you know, platform. What are some of the tips that you can give that people do daily, weekly, monthly, so they keep organized?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, well, let's take a step backwards to it and say, if you're brand new in business and you want to, just like you have a tech stack for your Amazon business or for your Shopify business, you need the same thing as if you have the right tech stack in your accounting business, life's going to be much better for you. So where does that begin? So it begins with choose a bank that is Progressive. So you don't want to be with a credit union. You don't want to be with a community bank. You want to be really, you want to be Chase or Wells, because they're the ones that are going to have the best bank feeds that work with QuickBooks or Xero. So our technology wraps around QuickBooks and Xero. I prefer Xero, and probably QuickBooks won't want to hear that. So the reason being is that Xero was built on the cloud, whereas QuickBooks was really modified to the cloud along the way. And so you want to leave the shoreline with the right technology to make your life simple. So if you go through any of the e-com bulletin boards or chat rooms and all that stuff, they talk about Xero, that Xero is way better. So you want to have Xero as your accounting. You want to have a proper bank, have your credit card with that bank for your business. Don't mingle personal funds inside. Keep your business easy. You do all that, you're going to be able to really simplify your life in the accounting side, right? Now let's talk about when you structure your business, you have to also simplify your life in that. So for those that, you know, I see some people that are UK and you know, across the world on your podcast right now. So for them, lots of times they're going to become a Delaware C or a Vegas or a Wyoming. You know, they need to have a business entity in the United States. And same thing, if they're Shopify, like we have customers in London. And if they're Shopify requires you have a UK and a US, right? I'm not sure about with Amazon. So I think Amazon's same way. So anyway, they're going to be a C Corp. But what you want to be is you want to be an LLC, and then you file your tax type as either an LLC, an S Corp, or a C Corp. And we'll talk about that if you like, as to where the money savings comes in and why if you're US based.
Okay, very good. So yeah, why don't we talk about that? So structure, and we talked about the way that Tim and I just structured something, but why don't we go through that? What's the importance of having it report as a C or an S Corp?
Yeah. And you said the key word, Norm, you said report. So for everybody, when you form a corporation in America, that is your entity corporation, and then you want a tax type. So they don't have to be the same. You could be an LLC and you could be a tax type, a C, LLC, or S. Okay. So if you're in the US and you're not going to make a lot of money and you want to keep things simple, you can start out as an LLC with the tax type LLC. What that means in simple terms is that you're not going to file a separate business return. So you're going to save yourself $700-$800, right? Because you're only going to put that as a Schedule C on your 1040. Here's the downside to it. Once you're making more than $30,000, $40,000, you want to then elect to be an S Corp. And here's why. You pay two types of taxes. You pay Social Security tax, which is Social Security and Medicare, and then you pay IRS tax, Internal Revenue tax, okay? So on the payroll side of it, being the owner of the business, you pay the normal employee side, 0.0765, and then you pay the business owner side. So when you pay yourself payroll out of your business, you are taxed 15.3% tax. And if you're an LLC filing as an LLC return, you pay that on every dollar up to about $140,000. And then after $140,000, you still pay another almost 3% on every dollar into infinity of payroll tax. Does that make sense, Norm?
Makes sense.
So right there, anyone who's making 100 grand, what you want to do is you want to be an S election, and then you want to pay yourself a salary of 30, 40,000. And the other 60,000 that's left over, 60, 70,000, you take that as a distribution. And right there, we just saved everyone 15% of 70,000. So that's 10 grand, 10, 11 grand. That's not bad for lunchtime, right?
Right. I wouldn't mind. Tim, did you set it up that way? Just saying, Tim, if he's still listening.
I love it. Can't wait to see him and Ricardo and to be with Colin tonight. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be, well, I wish I was there, and it will be fun. Yeah. All right. So I know there's going to be lots of questions coming in, Kels, on this episode. So why don't we just check?
Yeah, I think just being so technical that we want to have everyone clarify sure. everything. So Simon is asking, can you clarify that we're going to be U.S. focused on this podcast?
I would think so, Simon. We're going to be U.S. focused. We're going to be talking, well, we're going to be talking general terms about e-com and Amazon accounting as well. But technically it'll be .com.
Okay. And Victor had a question, but he answered it. So okay. We'll move to Fatia. I'm a UK citizen and opened an LLC in Wyoming recently. In regards to tax, what am I liable to? Or is it based on income profit?
So you're liable for two things. So you're going to be liable for sales tax. Well, really, it could be three things. If you're paying yourself out of that U.S. entity, then there's going to be payroll tax. And then if you're doing business, so you're obviously doing sales in the U.S., you're going to have sales tax, which we don't handle, but I highly recommend TaxJar as best in class, right? And for payroll, Gusto is best in class. But if you need bookkeeping, come to us. We'll link you to Gusto, and you'll get a 20% discount off of Gusto. Can't make it retro. So the liable that you're going to be taxed for is on profits. So if you're not profitable at this point because you're starting out, you're not going to be liable for income tax, U.S. income tax, government tax, until you are profitable. But you still will have to file a zero return, tax return. So three different ways of tax.
Okay, great. I guess we should mention also our little giveaway today.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lil, what is the giveaway? It's a 30-minute consult.
Yeah, so it's a 30-minute consult that we're going to give away today. You guys will tell us who it is, and then we'll send a link for them to schedule a 30-minute consult.
Okay, great. So if you guys are interested in this giveaway today, you can put hashtag WeLoveLil in the comment section, and yeah, we'll put it in. If you've won in the last, let's say, 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, just please give others a chance who haven't won before.
Right.
Yeah,
and I'll let you know that having a consult with Lil, it's incredible. She was on the Centurion League with Tim and I last week, and I mean it was fantastic. And also, I forget your tax consultant,
Lewis, our director of tax, and Lewis is like brilliant, amazing, just incredible. So we actually will set up. You know, on the business side, if you want to talk business e-com structure and all that kind of stuff, I'll chat with you. And if you want to talk specific tax questions, we'll loop Lewis in to answer those. So let us know when you schedule the consult.
So it'll be a great 30-minute consult. But, you know, I just thought of something that when we were talking the other day in the group, we touched on who should be doing the bookkeeping, who should be doing the accounting, the consulting, and you know, the question came up, and I was doing this too, was I was doing my bookkeeping separate from my accountant. My accountant and bookkeeper would talk once a year, and that would be it. You were completely, no, don't do that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. So So again, for everyone, I'm not a CPA, right? I'm same as everybody on this call. And you know, Norm, right? You're a serial entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've exited eight or nine businesses. And at the end of the day, you know, we all put our heads down and we just work like dogs, right? We just love what we're doing and we just go working on the business. And we're not treating money as a product. And we have to treat money as a product. And when you're bookkeeping, which is something that has to happen 12 months out of the year, so it's like a scorecard, bookkeeping gives you, you know, the backward look of, hey, was I profitable last month? What were my cost of goods? Were they in line with what they should be? All of those kinds of things. But when you're just doing that separate away from tax, you're missing out on the opportunity throughout the year to say, what are my tax benefits with all this profit I have? How should I shelter it? How should I put that money to use that's going to allow me to make money on that money? Because what people do is they say, oh, you know what? I'm making 100 grand. I better stock away 30 grand for taxes. And they stick it over in the bank here and they don't realize that they could be using that 30 grand to invest in their business and maybe to take their 30% tax bracket down to 20%. And, you know, e-com, a lot of people in e-com aren't aware of that. I think it was a couple of years ago that this came about, that if you do less than $5 million in gross revenue and gross sales, you don't have to track your inventory. Like, you know how we all feel like we have to know our inventory every month and all that? No, you don't need to. When you are $5 million and less, you don't have to track that. You just need that end of year number. And a lot of people, what they do is they don't write off the stale or old inventory. And that's a huge tax loss for them. If they think about it, and if they're doing bookkeeping separate from their accountant, their accountant is just going to take the numbers given to them out of the bookkeeping, not look at the business as a holistic picture, and try to save them max amount of money.
Yeah, and it's not just that. There's tons of different scenarios where you can save money just having the two sync up, correct?
100%. 100%. You know, look, what if somebody comes across and says, hey, here's a great opportunity to buy this inventory, you know, and I can give you an extra 25% discount. And if you're not connected to your CPA and to your accountant to talk about it, you don't know what it's going to do to your cash flow, right? And so maybe you just pass on that opportunity. Whereas if you would have talked with your financial professionals, they would have said, well, yep, this is what it's going to do. Here's what's going to happen. And you have a better idea if you can take advantage of it. And we all pass up those opportunities, right? You probably have, you know, those stories of in your career where you maybe thought, nope, I better keep the money because I need it for this. Whereas if somebody would have had given you the visibility to your numbers, it would have informed you to make the timely decision to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and it can make a complete difference to the bottom line. And I have experienced it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I've noticed, and I thought I turned off Skype, but I didn't. If you heard a little bloop, that was me. Sorry. Now it's closed. But another thing that I've noticed is I used to, many, many years ago, go to the cheapest tax accounting firm that I could find. And you know, it starts with an H and ends with an R. So, but not saying anything. I don't want to get sued. But anyways, that was the worst. Like, it was so generic, so out of the books. I mean, it was just to the book. When I go and I spend $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 on a proper accounting firm, man, it comes back tenfold, yeah. You know? So anyways, I think we should speak to that, like just proper bookkeeping.
Yes.
And proper accounting.
Yes.
And, you know, what is proper bookkeeping and proper accounting?
Yes. So my favorite color is gray when it comes to taxes.
How about and beards.
Yeah, and beards and beard nation, right? The gray beard nation. But the most important thing of it all is to stay compliant and to not put yourself in any risk. You know, we all want to pay the proper tax we're supposed to pay, right? So bookkeeping is important for as a business owner for you to understand your numbers, because you should have a guiding principle I love back of the napkin, and I think you're a proponent of it as well, Norm, right? We get an idea, and instead of, you know, spending 20, 30 hours doing a business plan, you know, just do a back of the napkin equation. If my cost of goods are X, and if my sales price is X, and if my fixed expenses are blah, 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 this, what's the profit margin? And then is that proper, you know, is that a good return on your time and your investment of that business? So people do that at the beginning of starting their business, but then you know what? Then they turn the blinders on and they have no idea. Their cost of goods could be 40% because they're not watching their numbers. Like our e-com, Amazon and Shopify customers, a lot of them, when they reach a certain volume, they plug in A2X. A2X is expensive, but you know what? It's worth it. And I'll tell you why it's worth it. It's tracking your returns, your refunds. It's giving you a clear understanding. You may be thinking, oh, you're selling the heck out of your product, but you may not have the visibility to know, yeah, but you're getting a 20% return. And if you don't factor in that breakage model, then are you really profitable? Maybe you're not. Maybe that's a bad skew. Maybe that thing breaks all the time, right? Maybe you're better off with a lower profit margin on a product that doesn't get returned. So you're not closing the loop on all of this if you don't have proper bookkeeping. So run your books, know your numbers. You triggered something for me. Early in my 20s, a mentor said to me, do what you do that you know how to do, and the things that you're not the best at, pay somebody. No matter what the cost is, pay somebody to get the best you can at those. And that's what's going to allow you to be successful in life. And so I started on my first business. I probably didn't need to go out and pay an accountant. And this was, you know, I'm going to date myself. This was in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. And I paid an accountant $330 a month back then. And we have customers that they pay $295 a month. And that 330 as the business grew became 800 a month. And then they charged me another like $8,000 for a tax return. And that was really the impetus of this business, is when I exited my last business in manufacturing, I said to myself, why is it that the more money that an accountant sees you make, the higher the price it is? That's not fair, right? It's the same work, right? Unless there's that many more transactions. And that's why we put in the transparent pricing that we have in our model and made it fair and equitable. Because if business owners know their numbers, Norm, they will stay in business. 92% of the people run their business from their bank account. And of the 82% of the ones that fail, 82% that fail, failed because of lack of cash flow. They were profitable, but they didn't know that they needed a little more oxygen to get over the next top of the mountain.
And they could have.
It's sad to me. They could have. They could have. They didn't know. If you know that you just got to limp along a little bit more, or if you know you got too much money in inventory and back that down and collect your money, or like our friends at Sellers Funding, right? That, hey, you just need a little bit more money. Go ahead and do the 14-day quick payment a few times, even though, you know, it's going to cost you money. Get over the hump, and then the promised land is on the other side. And they don't. And I know you love business, small business owners as much as I do, and it's sad to me. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, we've talked about cash flow, the importance of cash flow, the different types, and it, just simple things too, by your inventory turn. You know, how many times, you know, you can turn it and just have available cash flow. Again, cash flow is one thing. You talk about know your numbers. We had Tim Francis on. I don't know if you know Tim, but he's got a really great course called Know Your Numbers.
I love it.
Yeah, and there is, I don't take any affiliates on the podcast, but I believe he gave us a bonus code for $500 off. It's like a $900 course. So for anybody listening, if you're still stuck, and just getting to know your numbers. So what Lil said was interesting, you know, to hire somebody that's the best or better, right? Well, you don't have to be the best or better. You can take this course or a course about learning your numbers so you know enough, you know, just to be dangerous. But yeah, that's all you need. And then you hire out. And one of the things that you mentioned, Lil, was the best, right? So you want to have somebody that you're going to hire. And it's going to cost you, but at the end, it'll be, you know, worth it. there's a lot of people that have selective hearing that you hire out. What's the first thing they do? Oh, I'll go to Fiverr. Oh, I'll go to Upwork. Or I'll go here. And they'll start going down. Oh, I can get somebody for $3 an hour or $4 an hour, you know, and they'll go that route instead. And guess what? You're going to get somebody that's worth $3 to $4 an hour. It'll be really cheap bookkeeping and accounting, but you get what you pay for.
It will even worse than that when you're playing with bookkeeping and accounting, especially on the accounting and tax side. You know, you get fines and penalties from the IRS,
right,
and, you know, you're out a lot of money. And so, you know, it's important to know your numbers. People need to know three things, right? I think that they should know what their total sales are. They should know what four things, their cost of goods and their total expenses, two separate things. And they should know their net profit, right? And those are what's important to run your business. And at a bare minimum, you should know that. I find over and over that people will think, if I just increase my sales, it solves my problems. Not if your cost of goods are out of whack. You know, if you increase your sales and your cost of goods are out of whack, that's all the sooner you're going to go out of business.
Right. So is there a difference between accounting for e-commerce and then just the typical small business?
Oh, 1,000%. So those that my eyes lit up, right? You just saw my eyes light up. Yeah. We specialize in e-com. So, and the reason why we specialize in e-com is that we have so many e-com customers and we love them. The traditional accountants can't keep up. They haven't kept up with technology just in their own industry, let alone technology in other industries, right? So e-com is all about tech stacks, right? It's all about understanding and making sure that it's connected right. We get customers that their PayPal integration to Xero or QuickBooks wasn't set up right. Because look, the e-com people aren't going to understand. They don't understand credits and debits and all that, right? I mean, you already got your hands full. You're, you know, buying your products from across the world. You're putting them on the ocean. You're trying to get them up. You've got all these different platforms you're integrating with. And on the accounting side, if you don't connect PayPal up properly or Shopify, it'll double report your sales. So now you have really, forget about no visibility, you have the wrong visibility. Now you're flying the plane in dense fog and you don't know the sky from the ocean.
And even categorizing everything properly. I've seen some really horrible, everything is cost of goods. No, it's not. No.
You know, Norm, you bring up something very funny. We brought on a customer, I don't know, it was probably a couple of years ago, and it was when we were a lot smaller and I could see some of the chart of accounts and the team would tell me. And I love all the businesses that come on with us. I just think they're most so amazing and cool. I'll tell you about one that's an e-com selling books. That's like kind of crazy. Anyway, what happened was they had categories for chart of accounts. Ask the accountant, have absolutely no effing clue. Like, this is what they named their chart of accounts. Like, they had things categorized in this. Somebody please help me. That they had three categorizations in their chart of accounts. Ask the accountant, I have no effing clue. Somebody please help me. Like that, I get it. That's what it's like, right? You don't know the accounting software. You don't know the best way to maximize your tax savings. But yeah, we, in the early days, we brought on an e-com customer. They buy books for 3 cents a pound. They buy them truckloads of updates, everything else. They sift through it, throw out the ones they think won't sell, and then put them up on Amazon. They make a couple hundred grand a year.
Wow. Wow. It's not bad.
Yeah, through an estate sale. And I'm like, you know, in the early day, I would get to talk to the different customers. And now still I'll talk to anybody who wants to talk to me because I love small business. And I'm like, so how do you scale your business? He goes, well, I can only handle so many tractor and trailer loads. You know, I'm thinking this thing's a gold mine. I want all the library books.
So, Kelsey, I'm sure there's a few questions here.
Oh, yeah, we got lots. But just a reminder, if you guys are interested for the 30-minute consult for Zendu, you can put the hashtag #WeLoveLil in the comments. Just make a comment just like this, #WeLoveLil, and you'll be entered into the draw, which we'll do at the end of the show. So let's see, from Dr. Kaz. Okay, so must you pay yourself max? What is an ideal amount?
Great question, Dr. Kaz. So there are, you can Google with the government ranges a salary for all, whatever your job is, right? So, you know, you're Dr. Kaz, forensic detectors. So, you know, put in that you're managing a business. You could be, you know, some businesses are 30, 50, 70. If you're credentialed, like if you're a real doctor practicing medicine, you know, it's probably 100,000 with the IRS, maybe 80. So there's ranges on that, but great question. You don't want to pay yourself max. You want to pay yourself low to mid range.
Okay, great.
And then unless you're dropping a couple million a year, unless you're dropping down, you know, if you've got a business, and I hope all of you guys have these businesses that say, you know, your top line is 10, 15 million. And just for those listening, we'll take e-com customers up to about a 15 million top line in sales. And then after that, you probably have a big enough team that you may bring somebody in accounting within your team. But we'll be happy to sit on top of that if you want us to help and to watch and to consult. If you're, you know, dropping down 3, 4, 5 million to your bottom line, don't pay yourself only, you know, 50,000 or 40,000 a year. Pay yourself 100.
Okay. And then are you saying, so you can go up to that 100 and then the rest you invest back into the company, or what are you talking about, Lil?
Oh, you gotta pay yourself.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like, okay, million. I take out the 100 grand and I'm happy in that maximum, you know, what you were just talking about. And then are you reinvesting or are you taking out even more?
Depends on where you're at. You could do distributions. So let's use it like an even million, right?
Yep.
So you had $1 million dropping to the bottom line before you pay tax on a business, right? Say you're a 5 million top line revenue. You got $1 million in profit, you know, pay yourself the 100 grand. As your salary. And then, and probably at that point, you're going to pay some of your kids, right? That's going to help you to bring down tax.
Not Kelsey.
No. and so you're going to pay, you know, probably some kids. And if your kids are underage, you can, you know, pay them and they're going to be at a 15, 20%, you know, thing. And when you pay them, use the money you're paying them to cover the cost of their living, right? And then take a distribution on the money. So take, you know, if you want to take out a 500,000, you're still going to pay tax on the money. What you're going to save is, so in that situation, you're going to save 15% on the 40,000, because Social Security maxes out about 140. Don't hold me to the exact number. I have to ask the team. So 40 times 15. So you save 6 grand there in payroll tax. Then you save whatever you would have paid yourself if you would have paid all of that out as income, right? You would have paid another 3%. So now we have 860,000 times 3% is what, another 25 grand, right? So let's call it 31,000 we just saved there, that you saved in payroll side. Easy. Then you have other savings, because now what you should do is figure out how to shelter that other $900,000 to lower your tax bracket. Because at 900 grand in total profit, you could be as high as 40%. But there's ways to, you know, just to give you, and again, I'm not a CPA, so we're not giving tax, we're not giving exact advice on this. We're having a conversation and illustrations, okay? So if you're dropping down that kind of money, then you want to structure, you know, a holding company to where you're paying one company a management fee. You can shelter more money that way. And then, so in other words, you have the holding company up top, you have an LLC, and then you have your product company. So the product company has to pay the LLC for managing, and then the managing company has to pay the parent company for managing. And there's a way to save taxes that way as well.
And I guess before we get to any other questions, because I'll forget this, like right this time of year, like going back in December, making sure that if you've got a lot of profit left in your company, don't be afraid to spend it. Like I'd rather, and we were just talking about the Afalabi and I, you know, so there was a little bit of profit left in the company, and why pay tax? Like we're just, okay, what do we need for the company? What do we need here? We just spent. So we didn't have to, and then, you know, what could be deferred and to bring down the cut, but that's what a good accountant is for. the
100% Norm, you hit it on the head. You know, we had a lot of our customers in December that would say, hey, you know, I have all these profits and I want to do business with my business. Or we were reaching out and we're saying, you know, look, you got a couple hundred grand in profit, either prepay inventory for next year, which is an easy thing to do. And the reason being is that you're kicking that tax, that profit further down. And so imagine nobody knew what last year was going to be, right? So imagine if you would have prepaid, you minimized your tax that would have been due in April or in July, and you had inventory to sell. And if you're e-com, right, the world went on fire for e-com.
Yeah, there. Well, why don't we go to another question before I ask any more? Got to give Kelsey some work.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. It's hard to pick
you
one.
You guys are like the guy Fieri, you know, the Diners Drives and his son. Like, you guys are that cool vibe. Father totally handling the show. I love it.
But guy's got hair. And he pays his son.
All right, from Fatiha, what is the benefit, disadvantage of paying yourself an income when you're the only owner of the LLC?
So I'll give you the benefit of COVID hit, and if for the people that were the only, are you the only owner and only employee, not counting contractors?
I would say yes.
Okay, so in that case, if you were paying yourself salary, and say you were paying yourself $50,000, you would have gotten $12,000 from the government for the PPP. And for the people who weren't paying themselves, very difficult to get a money.
Mm. Okay, Kels.
Yeah, so another one. Okay, so this is from Rad. Is it good advice to keep a personal credit card separate from business credit with the personal name?
Can I answer that? Yes.
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. So let's talk about that a little bit, Norm, right? So, you know, you got to separate your business from you. You know, my philosophy is I always treat the business as a separate living, breathing entity. It is your child almost, right? It's going to then go to middle school, high school, college, and then it leaves the nest and hopefully you sold the business, right? And that's when you own the business yourself. If you're VC backed, like we're VC backed, so we're venture capital backed. So I don't treat this business like I've treated all my other businesses. All my other businesses, I traveled on them. I, you know, bought dinners on them. I did all those kinds of things. This, because we're VC backed, I wouldn't do any of that, right? Because you have investors and partners. So you want a personal credit card. So when the time comes that you want to potentially sell your business, they're not sifting through all your personal stuff, trying to figure out what really was the money on the business and wasn't the money on the business. Now, there is a thing that you can do that you should do is that, and it's called ODI, Owner's Discretionary Income. So you should be paying your phone. You should be paying your car. You should be paying your car insurance. You should, if you're working at home, buy some groceries, right? Because that would be the same thing if you had an office and you were stocking the office with all the treats for the team, right? So you can do that. And then, you know, a couple of dinners out a month. Don't be egregious, but a couple of dinners out a month. Put it on your business when it's your own. But understand where those are, right? And so then that way, when the time comes to sell your business, that is going to be in your travel category. It's going to be in your office expense category. And it's going to be easy to pull your car and your cell phone. And when you go to sell the business and you're sitting down with somebody and you need to have financials, like people all too often, people go and they think, oh, I'm going to sell my business. And that's when they start doing financials. That's not going to get you as much money. Whereas if you would have just, I mean, how much is it? Like most of our e-com people come in and they're on the $295, $3,600 a year and includes their tax return, or they're on their $400, $4,800 a year, includes their tax return and tax advice whenever they need it, plus monthly bookkeeping. That's an investment in your business, and that's going to help you sell your business for a much higher amount of money and keep you compliant and not have any problems with the IRS, maximize tax savings, and give you peace of mind because you know your numbers. So great question, Rad. Definitely do a separate personal credit card.
The other thing too, this just happened. So old guys can screw up badly. I had a personal and a business card. I was running one business with this card. I didn't think that there was a problem. I just had a card in my name running the business. Kelsey knows this. I put through a lot of money on this card. They just shut my account down. They just said, this is not a business account. You're shut down. Wow. And they closed every, and I had a ton of points. Everything was taken away.
Everything. Who was the bank?
Royal Bank.
You know what? They did that because you had a ton of points and because they saw, and which is, you know, shame on them. Shame on them that to do that. But here's the other thing. You get started with a personal card. You start putting all your software in your monthly subscription, and then you got to move it over to a business card, and it's painful. And then you don't even remember all your logins for those companies.
But I know this. Like, I know that you should do that. And you know what it came down to? An annual fee. Like, it was like, oh, I don't have to pay the, and the business for Canada. So this is to work in the, it was $150 a month. Crazy for the account. So I said, oh, I'll save $150 a month. I'll just put it on a personal. I know I should never have done that. And I did it. And I'm paying the price right now because I'm, and Tim knows about this. I'm scrambling.
Oh yeah. But why don't you just go back and offer him $150 a month? Say, hey, look, I'm really sorry. It was an oversight. I love your bank. I love doing business with you. Let me make it right. I'll pay you the $1,800 for the year.
It in Canada to open up in the U.S., it is a six, it could be a 6 week, it could be a 12 week, who knows what, how long it'll take. It's not like going in saying, oh, hey, and the other thing, this is crazy. I know we're going down a stupid rabbit hole here. I have to go to the bank.
No. Norm, I got a solution for you. I have a solution.
Yep.
Mercury Bank.
Yep.
So in the U.S., because like I said, we have people in the U.K., we have people in Australia, we have people in Italy, we have people all over the world that are customers of ours because they're e-com. So to open a U.S. bank, Mercury will do it all online.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so go to Mercury Bank. In fact, yeah. Elad Gill and a lot of VCs from SF, San Francisco, are investors in this bank. So Mercury is completely 100% an online bank. You'll have an account opened in a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Guarantee. So try Mercury. Also Brex. Brex is designed more for startups, tech, VC-backed startups, BREX, billion-dollar company in like 3-4 years, multi-billion-dollar company. They're going to disrupt banking, but they also have the ability to open up. But they're going after small businesses next. They're not a traditional credit card in the sense that they'll give you a credit line, but the first of the month they pull the money out, so you don't get that 30-day window. Mm-hmm. So try Mercury. Let me know how you do with that.
Very good. I'll let you know. So, I mean, you know, again, just going back that I'm well aware of it. But one thing that we do a great job with, and that is, details. And I know you rolled your eyes when we were talking at the Centurion League, but I'm a detail person. If I'm going out, and let's say Kelsey and I are going out for lunch, I'll get the receipt. I'll write, you know, that I had a lunch with Kelsey, that we talked business, and then I'll take that, scan it, send it over, and get it uploaded onto my QuickBooks. But, and I go one step further. I'll put the date or the time slot into my calendar showing, just in case I get an audit, that I went out to lunch with Kelsey.
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So,
anal, I know.
I got you. So you also go back and check your front door that you locked it after you're already in your car and maybe pulled down the street, right? So, look, I do that, right? It's attention to detail. And so I think it's great and admirable that you do that. So I apologize for rolling my eyes when we're on Centurion lounge. But the world has made it better and worse in the digital revolution, right?
Right.
And so, and this is one of those areas where it's made it better. One of the areas that's made it worse is nobody knows how to spell anymore, but that's a separate discussion. That's a little pet peeve. Kelsey and I could talk about that because he's an English teacher. So the deal with it is that the credit card companies, everything is linked. And so credit card companies already have that transaction and that anytime you can go back online and get down to the detail of that transaction. And then if you think about it, your calendar and your phone is going to have all of your history of your meetings and appointments. So you're duplicating the work. it's great that you're that detail oriented. I'm not going to try to take you off of doing that, but you don't need to go through all those extra steps. You know, you don't need to. And so, and look, you're a seasoned pro, Norm. You know, you have what, 8 or 9 or 10 businesses, maybe more. I don't know how you keep it all together and always seem so rested. And
I lose hair.
Yeah, we see, I think it's a great look, right? But for a lot of people just starting out, don't do the things you don't have to do. Do the figure out how you maximize your time to get as far as you can on the business.
I don't know if Simon's being just sarcastic or not. And yes, I have an SOP on how to do that.
I love it. I love it, Simon. I love it.
Okay, next question. And we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Yeah, so we have a hard cutoff time today. So we have, I would say, about maybe less than 10 minutes before we wrap things up. So anyone, if you guys are loving Lil and all of her advice, I highly recommend you guys enter this contest. Just put hashtag we love Lil, and Zendu is going to do a 30-minute consultation with you for one lucky winner. So definitely take advantage of that. We've got a bunch of people entering.
Oh, and by the way, it's beautiful because this is, it could be international. It doesn't have to be, as long as you are on .com, you know, a lot of times we have a lot of giveaways that we can't do anywhere outside of the U.S.
Yeah. Okay, so from Nikita, I am setting up a foreign owned LLC in Wyoming. I am from Latvia. Should I worry about paying taxes in USA at all? I'll be just selling on Amazon. No offices, no staff.
Gotcha. Well, hello, Nikita. Latvia is great. Our development team is in Estonia, so right around the corner from you. And it's interesting, a lot of people today on Wyoming. Wyoming's a great place to spin up your LLC. So you're going to have to pay, because you don't have offices and you don't have staff in the U.S., you're not going to have payroll, which is great. But you're going to need to pay IRS tax, and you're going to need to pay sales tax. And you're going to be on Amazon. So one of the things that happens with Amazon is that they'll put your products in a lot of warehouses. And so when they do that, and they put them in a lot of warehouses, every state has a different amount of money that triggers the threshold of when you have to start paying sales tax. So I would say immediately turn sales tax on for all, you know, for every location that you're selling, right? For all of the United States, connect yourself with TaxJar. It's going to be pricey, but that's the best way to stay safe. TaxJar will tell you what states you hit the thresholds to file a sales tax return, and those could be monthly, quarterly, or annually. And then, as far as your income tax, you will have to file a tax return, and that tax return will either be a 1065 if you're a pure LLC, being taxed as an LLC. It'll be an 1120S if you're going to be an S election, or it'll be a C Corp, an 1120 if you're setting yourself up as an entity of C Corp. We're happy. We do one-off tax returns, guys. So we're happy to do a tax return if you need a tax return. And of course, we love to do the monthly bookkeeping for everybody.
And I don't think I have to mention this, but you also have to have a registered agent. So you've got to pay that person too in Wyoming. And it's not very expensive.
$50, right, Norm?
It's very cheap in Wyoming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you have to renew that every year. Mm-hmm. And your CPAs and tax people don't do that. That's something that you should get a notice and renew your corporation. But, you know, look, we, Norm, you have a lot of people from across the world. We could set up you're very welcome, Nikita. We could set up a podcast that just talks about what you need to know. It'd be like us going, Norm, it'd be like you and I going and opening a business in Europe, and then we would not have a clue on VAT. Well, you may, because you're Canadian, but I wouldn't have a clue on their taxes and licensing and all the things you have to do there. It's the same thing for our friends that have e-com businesses from across the world that are coming to the U.S.
Right.
Be a great topic for us.
It would be. Yep. Yeah. And also with Lewis about the tax side on the tax consulting. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
All right, Kels.
All right. So we have a bunch of questions. I don't think we'll be able to.
Let's do a
speed.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Darwin, how much is a consultation for your firm?
Great. So if you'd like us to do a 1-hour consult, it's $400. A half an hour consult is it's $380 for 1 hour and $200 for a half an hour.
Okay. And I'll take some from the personal. Are tax returns due on the 8 month of LLC anniversaries?
No. So tax returns in the U.S., if you're an LLC filing as an LLC at 1065, then that tax return is due March 15th. Same thing if you're an S election, due March 15th. If you're a C corp, it is due 4 months after whatever your fiscal year. C corps, you can choose different fiscal year. So if you're filing an LLC as an just pure single member LLC, you could file that on your 1040 Schedule C, which that is due April 15th.
Okay. And Tony, what if you're based in Canada where we have tax treaty with the IRS?
That's a Lewis question. You do have a tax treaty with the IRS, and that's a Lewis question.
Okay, great.
But yeah, I believe you still have to file regardless.
And I do want to give a horror story. So, Tony, the most important thing that anybody internationally can do, Canadian, and this happened to me in Miami, unfortunately, but I had a large distiller offer to buy my company. And you can guess who that is a little. But they offered. It looked great. We were going to go forward with it. And then it was a cash and stock swap. I was happy. I was doing the happy dance. Very happy. I was going to go into retirement early. And then I found out that because it was a Canadian company that I set up, stock swaps are a wash in the U.S., right? You don't pay any tax.
Yeah.
In Canada, you pay 50%. You pay the tax up front, which wiped out my cash, and I ended up owing the distillery money the company money if I would have accepted the government. That's what I meant, but the government money on the tax. So I had to decline.
You know what, Norm? First of all, very sorry to hear that.
And, well, it was 25 years ago, so it's not bad.
Yeah, but no, but you know what? We all learn our lessons along the way, right? And I got to, you know, for those people who are thinking about selling their e-com businesses, it's good to get ahead of it in the front end of it. Because if you haven't documented the opening of your business, say you threw $50,000 or $100,000 at it, if you don't put that on the balance sheet in the beginning, you're going to lose out the tax savings on that. When you go to sell your company, you got to have everything in order. And and when you're, you know, we all spin up our companies and we're using our personal credit cards and we're using our bank account, we're spinning it up. And if you don't go and put, you know, capture all that and put it on your balance sheet, you lose out because that's tax, that money that was already taxed. Once it's in your pocket, it's already been taxed.
Yep. All right. Next question. Speed round number two.
Okay. I don't know if we'll have time if we want to have everything wrapped up. So let's do the wheel first and make sure I get that. And then we'll see how much time we have left. So I'll be sharing my screen. Hopefully I got everyone. Sorry.
Love it.
No pressure, Kels, but I just see us.
I know. I'm working on it. There we go. Okay. So we have our wheel. We'll do one giveaway. So 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Peggy. All right. Congrats, awesome. Peggy.
Thank you, Peggy. So awesome. Awesome. So what we'll do, Kels, is I'll give you a link to book. And if Peggy could tell us, does she want to chat with me or with Lewis, CPA, Director of Tax?
Okay, very good.
We can let you know now before we hang up. That'll be the one that I'll give you. All right, let's see if we can blow through a couple other quick questions. I like for everyone to get all their information answered.
Okay. Okay, past few years, we cannot deduct the tax accountant's fee from the income tax. Will it change in the future?
Rad. Of course you can deduct the it's professional fees. I don't know why they're not deducting it. That's 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
In fact, this year we had like a lot of customers. All the e-com people had such a good year. They wanted to pay for next year before December to get the 100% write-off.
I'm not sure, Rad. Yeah, you might have to go back and talk to them, but that should be just a write-off.
Rad, that's the wrong tax people. If they don't even give you that, that's the wrong tax people. Let's spin up the next one, Kelsey.
Okay, from Peggy. Last year I started a Shopify store, but doing it as a sole proprietor. Should these be an LLC?
It's not showing, Kels.
Yeah.
So single member LLC. Yeah, because you know what? You could be a single member LLC and put it on your Schedule C of your 1040. But yeah, you know, if for legal reasons, you want to be an LLC. You want to protect yourself. So that by making it an LLC versus a sole prop, you put protection away from somebody trying to sue you personally.
Okay. The questions don't come up on the personal Facebook feed. So from Jagar, do you have to pay sales and you use tax for your home state in New Jersey, even if you're tax exempt from your home state?
So you're not really tax exempt. When you get a tax exempt number, it means that you can buy whatever products you buy that you use to resell. You don't pay tax on that. But when you resell a product to somebody else, then you have to pay sales tax on that. So yeah, definitely hop on. There's lots of great stuff on TaxJar for education of it to do it. But yeah, sales tax is the area you don't want to play with. We all eventually get a sales tax audit in our lives, which is not good.
Okay. Simon, doesn't Amazon collect U.S. sales tax as a U.K. citizen with no entity or employees in the U.S.? What additional taxes am I liable for?
Yep, 100%. Thank goodness Amazon started collecting U.S. sales tax for everybody and taking care of that headache. Huge win. So you are not an entity or an employee in the U.S.? So if you have an entity in the U.S., is Amazon selling your product in the U.S. but paying your European or your U.K. company the money? And if that's the case and you don't have a U.S. company, then you don't pay U.S. tax. But if you have a U.S. entity that Amazon is paying the money to, then you need to report that to the IRS, Internal Revenue Service. Okay. And that tax is not payroll tax or sales tax. It's IRS tax.
Okay. And we are at 1 o'clock. So if you need to get going, we can do
how
the
many
outro.
More questions? How many
One more
you?
Question?
No. How many more you got? I hate to leave people with things they need.
Okay. Well, I think we have about 3 or 4.
Okay. Fly. Ready?
Okay.
How involved in your, as I'm sure it won't be at the end of the year, you do, are you in contact? So the deal with that one is, we're as involved as our customers want to be. So if depending on the package that they do, if they do the Boost or Flight or Thrive, and they have tax included, they can book with the CPA team anytime they want to. They're going to be talking to their bookkeepers. You know, bookkeepers are going to reach out on things that they don't know what's the best classification for, if it's obscure and they need to know, is it a cost of good or this or that? So yeah, we're as involved as you are. We don't shy away. We talk to our customers. We love our customers. We love small business. Next one. What's the preferable way for Amazon sellers to connect Xero to our corporate business bank account and it'll be collected? Yep, 100%. So you want to connect Xero to your bank. You want to use hopefully one of the top banks like Wells, Chase, Bank of America would be third. And if you do that, the bank feeds stay solid. If the bank feeds de-link, be sure when you relink them, you don't duplicate your feeds. Okay. So for S Corp to recap, one must estimate profit and to minimize tax burden, one needs to pay themselves a net profit. Is that correct? Okay. For an S Corp to recap, one must estimate profit and minimize tax burden. So basically what happens is you're responsible to pay 110% to avoid a penalty. You have to pay 110% of what you paid in IRS tax, Internal Revenue Income Tax. So if you made $100,000 and you're in a 30% tax bracket, you owe 30 grand to the IRS before, unless you have a lot of deductions. If that's pure profit, 100 grand, you're more than likely going to pay somewhere around 30 grand in tax. You can pay that quarterly, 7,500 a quarter as estimated. The other way around it is pay the government on the last 2 weeks of the year, pay them 33,000. As long as you pay 110% of what you paid last year, no penalties. Okay. And then you hang on to money. Last question, Kelsey?
That's it. That's done.
Oh, man. You slammed through them.
Fire.
Okay. So, Lil, I do know you have to get going. Thank you for being on the podcast. We've got to do it again. I'm sure there's going to be a million more questions. And are you part of the group?
you know what? I don't know if I'm part of the group. How do I become part of the group?
Kelsey's got to do his job and invite you.
Yeah, I'll send you an invite for it. It's Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective, or Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and e-commerce collective. But I'll send you an invite.
Perfect. And then send me Peggy's email and whether she wants me or Lewis. Guys,
very good.
Absolute pleasure. Congrats on all the success of the show. Love how you're helping the e-com community.
Thanks, Lil. We'll talk to you soon. And again, thank you for taking the time out of your day.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everybody. So I hope you enjoyed today's session. We're definitely going to get Lil and hopefully Lewis to come back and talk more tax side of things as well. But these are things that we can talk about, you know, multiple shows. So I think that's pretty much it. Who do we have coming in on Friday, Kels?
We have Mina Eliash.
Oh, very good. Okay, yep, that'll be an interesting podcast talking about
surviving your niche as well as some PPC as well. So it's going to be kind of a mix of the two. Yeah, it should be really good.
Okay, so I know we're running a bit late. Thank you, everybody, for watching the podcast today. Remember, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And thanks for being part of the community, and we'll talk to you soon. Lunch with them.